Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'o Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah, 4 lines from the top of Daf Chof Tes. We continue with the theme that we've been dealing with in the last couple of shiurim, and that is the avoidance of creating an impression of commercial activity. In other words, if a person needs an item that is available in a store on Yom Tov, he needs some type of food supply, so he is allowed to receive it. Of course, he's not going to pay cash on Yom Tov for it, and the bill of transaction isn't going to be recorded in writing. That's obvious. But even more than that, we want to avoid speech and actions that create the impression of commercial activity. So we continue with that spirit. Omer Odom Lechavero. A person can say to his friend, Male li klize, fill for me this vessel, avol loy bemido. This expression will have to wait for the Gemara to explain. Likewise with Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im hoyo kli shel mida lo yamalenu. That too needs to wait for the Gemara. Maisiv Abishol ben Bitnis, an incident involving Abishol ben Bitnis, Shehoyo memale midoisov me'erev yom tov. He would fill his vessels. Midosov literally are measuring vessels. V'noisnon l'lekuchos b'yom tov. Now, what would happen, and Rashi explains this, is that customers would come into the shop with their own vessels. Let's just say, for argument's sake, everyone had their own, say, quart-size vessels, or liter vessels. And the store owner had a vessel also that would hold a liter of liquid. So the Mishnah is telling us that Abishol would fill up from, let's say, his barrel, if it's wine or oil, he would fill up liter-size vessels. And then on Yom Tov, people would come in, and he would transfer from his liter vessels into the customer's vessels. Abishol, Omer, af b'moyed oso kein. Even on Chol HaMoed, he would do that. V'chachomim oimrim af b'choyul oisekein mipnei mitzui hamidos. We glance at Rashi. Af b'cholo shel moed oisekein b'gmora forash taimo v'lo garsinon b'masnisimei birurei midos. And Rashi adds that we don't include in our Mishnah's Girsa that expression. We skipped it in the Mishnah. The next Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil, Mipnei Mitzui Hamidos, Kishoha Mocher Shemen, when he was selling oil, Hoyaloi Midois Harbe, he had a lot of different size vessels. Umevian Halukuchos Klehem, Umodeid Leish Vish Bemido Liatsmo, Umitzmatsois Vaholchois Lesoich Klehem Kol Halaila. What Rashi described was that the vendor, Abishol, had a lot of different quantity vessels of oil. He had liter vessels, half-liter vessels, one-cup of oil vessels. Customers would come into the shop with their own vessels of the same quantity, and they would leave their vessels in the shop overnight for the for Abba Shoal to have his oil-containing vessels spill or pour into the customer's vessels, and the oil would continue to pour overnight. Now, many of you, or probably all of you, are familiar with the nature of oil, is that it after you pour out the majority of the contents, the bulk of the contents of the vessel, there remains oil along the sides of the walls, the inside walls of the vessel. And there's a gradual, slow drip of the remaining oil. He was very concerned, Abba Shoal was very concerned that his customers received to the last drop of oil. But, of course, that takes time. No one's going to stand in the store waiting for the last drop to come out. So he had an arrangement with his customers that the customers would leave their vessels by him overnight, and he would, from his storage vessels, as we said, they were all pre-measured, one holding a liter, some holding a half a liter, he would turn the vessel over and have it pour into his customers' vessels, thereby having enough time for the last drip to come out, the last drop to come out, because the customers would leave their vessels overnight in his shop. And this was a practice that he did all the time, even during weekdays. Nothing to do with Yom Tov per se. Now the Gemara explains the terms in the Mishnah that we didn't explain. Before we go further, let's just take a note of the structural aspect of the Gemara. And you can see on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. And the diamond that appears represents Shnei Pirushim. You have one diamond here and a diamond further down the page. Shnei Pirushim, Mahu Avolo Bamido Bamishnah. What is meant by that expression that the Tanakhama mentioned, Avolo Bamido, that a person says to his friend, Maleli Klize Avolo Bamido? So now we read the Gemara. My Avolo Bamido. Omer of Yudom Ar Shmuel. Avol, and we wrote above this the Rabbonon, because what Shmuel does is he presents to us the explanation of the Rabbonon and the explanation of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah as well. So you note that we've written in and underlined Rabbonon, and the next line we've underlined Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel says as follows, Avolo b'kli hamiyuchad l'mida, avol kli ha'oymed l'mida yamalenu. One is not allowed to use a vessel that is currently his measuring vessel, but he can use a vessel that, in the event that his official vessel breaks, he has a replacement vessel waiting in the wings. Rashi, Hamiyuchad l'mida, shemodeid u'mocher bo. That's the vessel that he uses for measuring out to his customers. You have to imagine a lot of products are sold, let's say, from sacks or from large barrels. A person has a measure, a scooper that has a formal measure to it, and he uses that during the week to measure out to his customers. So the Tanakhama is saying that he shall not use his regular official measuring device when distributing products to his customers on Yom Tov, but he is allowed to use a vessel that will replace a replacement vessel in the event that the one he usually uses breaks. But Rashi adds, the one that he's allowed to use, he hasn't used yet in regular sales. We continue in the Gemara. V'osa Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, afilu kli ha'oymed lemida lo yimalenu. Rabbi Yehuda is more restrictive and says that since this replacement vessel is itself a measuring device, a measuring vessel, and it holds a certain pre-known measure, he is not to use that as well, because it looks like a regular sail when he uses the replacement vessel as well. And now the Gemara has a sub-discussion, because later you'll see a second diamond with a new approach, or another approach to the Mishnah. But in the meantime, there's a sub-discussion where the Gemara raises a contradiction in Shittos. Notice we have a bow tie shape, and on the side, under our Mivneh introduction, the bow tie appears stira, a contradiction between mi mekil umi machmir besimchas yom tov, Rabbonon or Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the mekil, who is the lenient one, and who is the strict one when it comes to matters of involving simchas yom tov, enjoying of yom tov? Is it the Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda? So let's see the problem. Alma, from the presentation we've seen so far, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is more restrictive than the Rabbanan. Alma, Gabi Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda L'Chumra, Rabbanan L'Kula. Regarding matters that affect enjoyment of Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be more restrictive than the Rabbanan. Question, long question. V'ho Ibcho Shaminan L'Hu, but we have on record the opposite. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shokel Odom Bosor Keneged HaKli UKeneged HaKupitz. We saw this in our previous shiur. This has to do with using a balance scale on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda says you can take meat that a customer wants, put it on one side of the balance scale, and instead of using an official weight, which would be prohibited, he can use he can put a vessel, the weight of which he probably knows, a vessel or a kupitz, a type of a hatchet or a special knife, placed on the other side of the balance scale, and the customer will know, the seller, the vendor will know how much the customer received. The main point is that, as we saw in our previous year, we're avoiding the official daily method of measuring. This, it's unusual to use a vessel as a counterweight to the meat that you are selling. The chachamim are more restrictive. Ein mashgichin bekaf moznayim kol ikur. One is not to use a kaf moznayim, a balance scale, whatsoever. Alma, what do we see? Rabbi Yehuda l'kulav rabbanon l'chumra. Rabbi Yehuda is the more lenient, and the Rabbanan more strict. Kashya de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda, Kashya de Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. This then forms a contradiction in each one's approach. The Gemara responds, de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda lo kashya. You'll notice the next line we squiggle on as well, de Rabbanan nami lo kashya. Now the resolution. Rabbi Yehuda lo kashya. Hosam, with the kli and the kupitz in the balance scale, Rabbi Yehuda sees room for leniency. B'she'eno oymeg lemida. It's not something that is destined to be used as a measuring device ever. A person doesn't use a scissors as a measuring device, as a counterweight. So since it's never used in terms of daily commercial practice, I can allow it on Yom Tov. Hacha, in the case of the Mishnah, ba'oimed lemida. He hasn't used it yet, but it's going to be used. In the event that the current measuring device breaks, the Mishnah described, the Chachamim spoke about using a replacement vessel on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda objects to that. This is going to be used as a regular measuring device, so I am restrictive. The Rabbanan ad Rabbanan nami loy kashya. Within the Rabbanan, there's no contradiction either. Hasam, with the case of the balance scale, where they were restrictive not to use it at all, ka ovid kide avdin b'chol. He is doing as he would do during the weekday. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Kide avdin b'chol. B'moznayim, pa'omim shein alitra lefonov, v'kivin shiyodea mishkol, kelov shokel bo. There are times a person can't find his official weight, and he happens to know the weight of his scissors, or the weight of his hammer. And he'll put it on the other side as a counterweight on during the week. So it's something that, it's true, he doesn't It's not something that happens on an ongoing basis, but in the event that he can't find his regular weight, he will use the vessel as a counterweight. Ha-ha. In the case of the Mishnah, lo ka'ovid kida avdin b'choil. And Rashi explains here, rada dayin lo yotza tivoy shel kli ze limida. This particular vessel, even though it's going to be a replacement vessel, it hasn't been named as such yet, or it hasn't become known as a measuring vessel yet. Therefore, it has no association with something of a weekday nature. Rava Omar. Now, diamond number two, a second approach to explaining the Mishnah. Rava Omar, my avoloi b'mida. What do the Rabbanan mean when they say that a person selling items on Yom Tov should do it avolo b'mida? Shelo yizkor lo shem mida. He shouldn't mention a quantity. Avokli hamyuchad b'mida. Yemalenu, but a vessel that he uses in general for measuring, he can use that, he can scoop up with that. This approach is more lenient than Shmuel's approach. Shmuel banned the Kli HaMiyuchad L'mida, and Rava is allowing the Kli HaMiyuchad L'mida. So what do the Rabbanan, and Aval, so the Rabbanan, when they were restrictive, they were simply saying, don't mention quantities, but you can use a vessel that you usually use for measuring. The also reviewed a lemeimar kli hamiyuchad lemida lo yimalenu, and Rabbi Yehuda is taking the position according to Rava of what Shmuel's version of the Rabbanan had said, that the objection is to use that regular measuring scooper or measuring vessel. But it would seem that according to Rava, if it weren't a vessel that he's already using, but it was a mere replacement vessel, so Rava's version of Rabbi Yehuda might very well allow for that. That's just a point that we're extrapolating right now. Nevertheless, the same problem that we raised before exists over here within Rava. Alma gabi simchas yom tov, Rabbi Yehuda l'chumra v'rabbonon l'kula. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be more restrictive than the Rabbanan. But we have heard just the opposite. And this is all the same as before. So no need for additional explanation. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shoykel Odom Bosor, Keneged Hakli, Ukeneged Hakupitz, V'chachomim Omrim Ein, Mashgichin, Bekaf, Moznayim, Kol Iker. Alma, Rabbi Yehuda Lekula, V'rabbanan Lechumra. Kashya de Rabbi Yehuda, Kashya de Rabbanon, ad Rabbanon. Answer. De Rabbi Yehuda, ad Rabbi Yehuda, lo Kashya. Hossam, in the case of the Kli and the Kupitz, serving as a counterweight, Rabbi Yehuda was Mekil, he allowed that. B'she'eno miyuchad l'mido, those are vessels that are not specifically designed for measuring, for weighing. Hacha, in the case of the Mishnah, miyuchad lemida. I was objecting to the use of a vessel that is designed and designated for measuring. That's all. So there's no contradiction. It's just you look at the principle, and that in the case of something that's not miyuchad lemida, so it doesn't upset our Yom Tov atmosphere, but a vessel that is miyuchad for measuring does upset us. The Rabbanon ad Rabbanon nami lo kashya. Hasam, in the case of the balance scale with the Kli and Kupitz as a counterbalance, where the Rabbanon were machmir, ka'ovid kida'avdin b'choil. We saw that before in Rashi, where it's a type of practice that might happen during the week. True, the Kli and Kupitz are not designated for measuring, but as by way of action, of taking such a vessel and putting it on the other side of a scale to serve as a counterweight to the meat that he's weighing out, That's something that he would do on occasion during the week. Therefore, don't do it on Yom Tov. Hacha, in the case of the Mishnah, lo ka'avid k'da'avdin b'chol. In the case of the Mishnah, what did the Rabbanan say according to Rava? The Rabbanan said you can scoop out with your regular measuring device. And why is that okay? The avdi inshi the mikrevi chamra b'mono the kila v'shasu. People will actually serve their friends wine to drink in a measuring cup. Rashi, we have a little starred Rashi. Hachalo ka'avid k'davdin b'chol. In the case of the Rabbanan in the Mishnah allowing you, as Rava explained, to use the regular measuring vessel, that's not called Avdin Dechol, the way of the weekday. Why? Shederech Lukuchoy Sloimar Tain Li Lug. The customer who comes in for a commercial transaction always mentions a quantity. In the Rabbanan and the Mishnah that were allowing the use of the measuring cup, but their restriction was don't make mention of a measure. In fact, that is enough to make it non-weekday-like, because the derech of Lukuchos, as Rashi says, is to make mention of measures. V'ein darken lomar klize maleli b'derech mekach. People don't say fill up this vessel in a sale. Ela b'derech halvo matona. People might say that in a case where you want to borrow something or someone gives a gift. Even though it might be regularly used measuring device or measuring vessel, the absence of mentioning a measure makes it such that it's not mundane, it's not weekday-like, and therefore allowed on Yom Tov, even though, again, we're repeating, even though you are using a regular measuring device. As we continue in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, we see a quote from the Mishnah, Maisa ba'abashol ben bitnis. If we glance back at the Mishnah, we see that he used to fill up his vessels erev Yom Tov, because one is not allowed to measure out things on Yom Tov. So he would fill up his vessels, erev Yom Tov, the pre-measured vessels, that he would then use to pour from into customers' vessels. But when he was filling up his own vessels, as we said, store owners had barrels or sacks of whatever that held a large quantity, much more than any one customer would need. So the vendor would fill up vessels that were measured, pre-measured vessels, liter-sized vessels, half-liter-sized vessels, have them all ready for customers who would come in with their own vessels to acquire from the store owner. In this case, we'll refer to him as Abishol, to acquire from Abishol the products that he was selling, wine, oil, etc. The Gemara, on the second of the wide lines under the Rashi, continues, Tana af b'moyed oisekein. Moyed is a reference to chol moyed. He would do the same thing on chol moyed, meaning fill up vessels at night. Now, of course, on chol moyed there's no prohibition of selling things by measure. That is okay. But he would fill up his vessels, the store owner vessels, during the nighttime in anticipation of customers who would come during the day. Now, why did he spend time during the night filling up his vessels? Mitnei bitol beis hamedrash. Rashi explains, and let's look at this together. Tana af b'moyed oisa kein mitnei bitol beis hamedrash shehoya chocham gadol. Abishol was a major scholar. Uboim rabim lishoil heimenu. The masses would come to seek out halachic direction and rulings and advice from him. Uvamoyed rabim oiskim b'torah, and chol moyed is the time that most people were not working, especially in an agrarian society where the malachas involved were all forbidden during Chol HaMoed, and many other types of activity as well, we might as well mention. So people were off from work, and that was the time that they dedicated to Torah study in a major way. She'ein trudin b'malacha, they weren't preoccupied with their malacha, with their parnosa, with their income. V'hoyo memalon b'layla, so Abishol, who had a store, he sold wine and oil, he would fill up his vessels, the pre-measured vessels, the night before. She'ein zman beis hamedrash, that's not the time where people were around for learning. Kedei she'ei ponui bayom, so that would free him up during the day. Once all the vessels were filled, so he wouldn't have to be preoccupied measuring out stuff to his customers. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Hu kines shlosh meos garve yayin mibrure hamidos. Garve is a plural of the word for flask. So 300 flasks of wine he gathered, he accumulated from birure hamidos. We'll explain this shortly as we go through it in the Rashi. But first, we just another couple lines of Gemara, and then go through this in the Rashi. The chaverov kinsu shlosh meos garvei shemen mi mitzui hamidos, and his friends who also had stores that sold oil, they gathered 300 flasks of oil from mitzui hamidos. Ve'hevim lufnei hagizborim liushalim, and they brought this extra wine and oil to the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted to dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to give it over to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, before we go any further, I'm sure everyone is wondering, what is the Birurei Hamidos of the wine, and what's the Mitzvah Hamidos of the oil, and why are they running to the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash? So now, let us take a look at the Rashi. First of all, we're dealing with vendors, store owners who sell wine and oil, as we mentioned before. Hu kines v'chulei, Rashi. Now, note Rashi is in two columns, so we're starting at the bottom of the first column. Hu kines mishenosan yayin b'chovis, kach v'kach lugin b'mida. He would fill up a barrel, and he knew how many lugin. Lugin is a type of measure. So we could just say he knew how many liters of wine were in the barrel. Umochar mimeno ad shemochar cheshboinoi. So let's say he had 100 liters of wine in the barrel. Customers would come in, each one with a liter size vessel. After 100 customers, you would expect the wine to have been finished from the barrel. Not so, however. Because when one is pouring wine to his customers, there's a certain amount of froth that develops at the top of the vessel. At which point, if you pour more, it's going to start overflowing. Customers didn't hang around the shop, wait around till the froth settled. Oftentimes people will buy soft drinks from soda fountains, from quick food shops, and the soda or the pop or whatever you want to call it, the soft drink carbonation forms a foam, very much such as the case with beer. So the person will have a full cup of beer with a big head to it, when in fact the amount of liquid that's in the cup isn't the entire cup. But people bought and walked away with the froth on top. So Rashi continues, Nimsa kol hanoyser b'chovis al yedei birurin shehirsiach hayayin. The hirsiach is the foam we just mentioned. Kishemotzio umala ofio, as he extracts the wine and it develops a foam, the Ein Hamido Maleo, and the customer's vessel isn't full, the Hein Nikroim Birurin. That's the term for the foam phenomenon we just described. Lefisha Mevarin Oison Minayayin Kishishoise. It gets Birur, Levarer is to separate, like Borer. So it gets separated. When he drinks the wine, he drinks it, and it separates from the foam. Inami al deklishi vizigi. That's another explanation. That, so far, is as far as the wine and how the vendor accumulated so much wine after his sales. So, as we explain, just going over our example, once again, he had a barrel holding 100 liters of wine. After 100 customers came in, each one paying for 1 liter of wine, he noticed that in his barrel there remained wine. And after a lot of sales, he accumulated 300 flasks of wine as a result of this phenomenon. Let's continue in the Rashi, the next diamond, v'shemen, with regard to oil, yesh boi mitsui, mipnei shemudbak b'shulei hamido b'defonosov. That's the nature of oil, the film of oil that remains on the insides of vessels, u'b'yayin shrichi b'rurin v'lo b'shemen. So, with regard to the oil, it seems that, as we described earlier, he would have, these oil vendors would have their pre-measured oil containers. Customers would come into the store, and the seller would pour from his pre-measured, let's say, liter bottles of oil. He'd pour it into the customer's liter, or the customer's vessels, and the customer would pay per liter how much the customer came in for 1 liter. After the store owner poured the shemen from his liter bottle into the customer's vessel, he would pay for it. Now, the customer did not hang around waiting for all the oil, the last drop of oil, to come out. So what happened was that as time went on, after the customers left and the oil accumulated at the bottom of the vessels of these shemen oil sellers, they found out that they had 300 vessels full of oil, small vessels worth of oil, as a result of what's called mitsui hamidos. Now, these sellers understood that they in effect got paid for this. The customers didn't want to hang around till the last drop of oil came out, or they didn't hang around till the froth settled on the wine. Be that as it may, the customer paid for 100%, a 100% amount of a liter of oil, or a liter of wine. So the sellers, Abishol and his friends, they were uncomfortable with all this accumulated wine and oil. And what did they do? They came to the Beis HaMikdash and wanted to give it over to the Beis HaMikdash. Let's continue with the Gemara on the fourth wide line, second word on the line, Omru Lahem. The treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash said, "I atem zikukim l'kach. It's not necessary for you to give this over to us." Rashi adds, since at the outset you had no intention of stealing from all your customers. Your customers were moichel. They were foregoing on what you've accumulated here, because for them, the customers were in a rush to go into the shop, get their stuff, and get out. They weren't going to hang around till the froth settled or till the last drop of oil fell into their vessels. And they were moichel. They were forgiving on this. So what you have isn't stolen goods that ordinarily we would say that when someone steals from the public and doesn't know from whom he stole, so he has to do something of some public good with it. That's not the case over here, though. Your customers were forgiving. They were moichel. Omru lohem, so the sellers said to the treasurers in the Beis HaMikdash, Af onu ein ritzoneinu bekach. okay, granted we're not guilty of theft, and we don't have a legal obligation to return this, or to pay, nevertheless, we don't want to benefit from others. After all, we got paid for this. So, the pay covered this that we have, and it really should be in our, let's say, emotional approach to things, should be in the customer's hands, but they didn't want it. We don't want it either. We don't want to benefit from that, which is technically others. Amru lahem. So the treasurer said, Hoyo v'chmartem al atzmechem. Since you are strict, you're imposing strictures upon yourselves, asu mehem tzorchei rabim. So you don't have to dedicate this to the Beis HaMikdash, but do something for the public good. Desanyo, as it is taught, gozal v'neudela mi gozal, a person who is guilty of actual theft and he doesn't know from whom he stole, yaseh b'hem tzorchei rabim. Person should do something of a for the public benefit. My ninu, what is an example of tzorchei rabim, of public benefit? Omar Rav Chisda, boros shichin u'ma'oros. These are different types of pits. The pits served as a water supply. So have these different kinds of pits dug out, which would then serve the public as additional water supplies. Adabre Rav Chisda l'ravna ukva v'dorash. I mean, Adabre means he led him. So Rav Chisda brought in Ravna Ukva and taught. Lo yimdoid odom se'urim v'yitein lifnei behemto b'yomtov. A person should not measure out barley, even if it's for his animal, and give it to his animal on Yom Tov, so that a person should be careful when he wants to feed his animal. He shouldn't fill up a measuring device as he would ordinarily. And Rashi points out that the ordinary way of doing this would be to fill up a measuring vessel by scooping up with your hand and filling up by hand the vessel. So that one should not do. Avol koyder hu kav o kabayim v'noisein lifnei behem tovein uchoshish. He takes the measuring device itself and scoops out of the sack of barley some barley for his animal. But what, as we said before, what he should not do is by hand fill up the measuring device. That would be the regular way of doing things. And we want to avoid the regular way when it comes to Yom Tov. Again, we're dealing with the issue of measuring. Furthermore, v'hanachtoim, nachtoim often means a baker. In this case, it means a cook. And Rashi points out that people who cook food, cooks, are also referred to by the term nachtoim. V'hanachtoim moidei tavlin v'noisin letoch kedei rosoi kedei shelo yakdiach tavshilo. There seems to be a leniency with regard to cooks. They are allowed to measure the spices that they are adding to their dishes so as not to ruin. Yachdiach literally means to burn, but like if you put too much salt into something, too much pepper, so it's considered as if you burnt it. So it means ruining. So that in order to avoid ruining the dish, he's allowed to measure the amount of spices. Omar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, Omar Rav. Moidedes isha kemach biyomtov, v'nosenes l'soich isosa. A woman is entitled to measure the flour that she is adding to her batter to make dough. By her knowing how much flour she put into the dough, this will enable her, k'dei shetito chalo bayin yofe. Chalo is the tithe removed from dough and given to Kohanim. A woman, and here's an element of psychology, and that is that a person who doesn't know how much there is, he'll tend to minimize the amount they will give as the tithe. However, if a person knows how much flour there is in the dough, that will motivate them to give a handsome quantity as the challah tithe. So that was Rav's approach. Ushmuel amar osir. Shmuel says it's one is not allowed. The once again to formally measure out the flour. Frek the Gemara asks for Tana de Bei Shmuel muter, but in the yeshiva of Shmuel where brises were, Tanaic sources were edited, he has a source that says it is muter, like Rav ruled. Omar Abaye, Hashtag Omar Shmuel Aser, Vitana de Bei Shmuel muter. Now that we have the seeming contradiction, where Shmuel himself says it's Aser, but in the Tana de Bei Shmuel has a record of it being muter. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis to explain this seeming contradiction. Shmuel alocha lemaisa osa lashmeinan. Shmuel, in being restrictive, was telling us what's called halocha lemaisa. That would mean the halocha that if someone comes to ask you what to do, you would tell them it's osa. Rashi points this out on Omid Aleph, about four lines from the end of the Rashi column, in the second column of Rashi. He says, Halocha lemaise osa lashminen, shabo lishol halocha lasus maise merin lo osa. Someone who comes to ask, I want to make some dough. Am I allowed to measure it out? So we tell him no. However, if you see someone measuring out flour to add to his dough, lo mochinon biyodei, we won't protest that. The halacha, the muter v'eimorin ken. The halacha is that it's allowed, but we don't publicize it. Now, don't think for one second that we're playing games over here. We're dealing, first of all, with a realm of rabbinic law. And since it's rabbinic law, the rabbis make the rules when something applies and when something doesn't. And therefore, we are being told that to publicize this, to teach it to others, could lead to, let's say, holiday desecration. People not honoring the holiday the way it should be. However, there is something called letter of the law, and that is something else. And that we're pointing out over here, in terms of measuring flour, is technically speaking allowed. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, Shainin Bekemach. What does that mean? Nipui Choser Lekemach. We're dealing with flour that's already been sifted, and you want to sift it again. Why would someone want to sift the flour again? So Rashi points out it makes it nicer. In other words, as far as primary debris is concerned, that was already taken care of by the initial sifting. And that initial sifting in our Gemara was done Erev Yom Tov. You're expected to do that Erev Yom Tov. What about a second sifting where it's not designed to remove debris? The second sifting is simply makes the flour and I guess the dough and the eventual baked good nicer. So there's a machlokas tanoim im muter biyontov. Now the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein shoinin kemach biyontov. We don't do that second sifting on Yom Tov. It's something that you could have done the day before. And as we've seen in the past, things that could have been done the day before, we don't want them done on Yom Tov. Mishum Rabbi Papyos Rabbi Yudah ben Beseir Omru Shoinin. They say it's allowed. And the reason given for that in Rashi seems to be that it's the Lekot Tircha, Rashi says. There's no real trouble involved. And it's clear to anyone looking on that it's not a real act of sifting. Continuing in the Gemara, v'shavin, there's agreement, shim nofal l'toichon tzror o kesam sheshoinin. Everyone agrees. And now this line is not a simple line in terms of halacha, and hence we will wait for the Gemara to deal with this topic in a few lines from now. There's agreement that if a tzror is a pebble or a splinter, a kesam is a small piece of wood, a twig falls into your pre-sifted flour, that you can sift it again. Tani tano kamei de Ravina. It was someone who taught a Tanaic source in the presence of Ravina, and he said, Ein shoinin kemach biyomtov. One is not allowed to do the second sifting. Avol nofal tsroro kesam borer biyodo. In the event, if a stone, a pebble, or a twig fell into your flour, so you can pick it out by hand. Omar le, Ravina says, Kol shikain to oser, the havele kaborer. That is even worse. That's all the more worse. If you're telling me, ain shoinin kemach biyamtav, and that act is not a real sifting, it's already dealing with pre-sifted flour, and you're saying that's restricted to manually remove debris from flour, that's all the more problematic. That's like borer. Borer is the action of separating the undesirable from the desirable. And that is a forbidden action on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Dorash Rova bar Rav Huna Zuti apischa de nahar da'a. Rava taught at the gate of Nahar Da'a, the entrance to Nahar Da'a, Shoinin Kemach B'yomtov. One is allowed to do that second sifting on Yom Tov. Omar Luhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to them, Poku V'omru Le La'abo. Rav Nachman said to those who were by him, and could be, he said to the people of Nahar Da'a, go tell Abba. Abba, Rashi says, Chaveri, my friend. And it seems that he's making reference to Rava Bar Rav Huna, who just publicized that it's mutter to do Shoinin. So Rav Nachman says, go tell him that you are not really telling us anything new. You're not benefiting us by your teaching. We know that already. And he uses a term that you find elsewhere in the Shas. He says, Shkila tivusech v'shodi achizri. The tivusech is the toiva, the favor that you were doing for us, is not a tova. Shkila means literally it's removed. It's not something that we benefit from. Your toiva, your favor, is cast upon the thorn bushes, the chizri, or thorns. We just provided you with a literal translation. Basically means you're not really benefiting us. Poik chazi, go out and see kama mahuta hadrin benar da. See how many mahuta sifters are circulating in Nahar Da. In simple terms, as Rashi says, shikulon yoidoishim, everyone knows that it's mutter. So you're not really telling us anything new. As we go on, you'll notice a volcano shape. On the side, we have a mivne, a structural note. Nehila kimcha. This is the nahala kimcha, is the expression you see in the volcano shape. Nahala is to sift kemach, is flour. Shnei maisim shel shoinin bekemach shenasu b'shinui. We have two incidents of shoinin of the flour, the second sifting of the flour, but the second sifting was done b'shinu with a change, in an unusual way, a change. And oftentimes we see that if you are going to do a certain, let's say, problematic activity, but you do it b'shinui, so there's room for leniency. The issue of shoinin b'kemach we saw was somewhat controversial as we've been going through the Gemara. So here we're going to see two stories of shoinin that were done b'shinui, with this change. Yesh lo sim lev, we are recommending to pay attention, to note, im yesh machloikis rav Yosef rav Ashi im be'emes bo'inon shinui. Check out, see, when you learn this Gemara, think about the possibility that maybe there is a machlokes between the two opinions we're going to see in the upcoming lines, namely Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi. Is a shinui really necessary? We are not going to commit ourselves to say that there is definitely a machlokes. On the other hand, we're not going to deny that either. Let's see the Gemara. Divisu de Rav Yosef, Na'alo Kimcha, Agabo de Mahulta. Divisu is the wife of. Rav Yosef's wife would do the Na'alo Kimcha, and we're following Rashi's pshat in this Gemara. There is a pshat in the Tosfos given by the Rashbam that seems to suggest something else, possibly an initial sifting, but we're not going to stick with Rashi right now, that the wife of Rav Yosef was doing the second sifting on Yom Tov, agava de Maholta. Gava is on the back of the sifter. In other words, she flipped the sifter and then inverted it in order to do it b'shinui. Omar law, Rav Yosef says to his wife, Chozi, behold, the ano rifta ma'al yisa bo'ino. I want, rifta is a loaf of bread, good bread. I want good, nice bread. And therefore, what he's saying, and Rashi explains thusly, since I want good bread, and it's Yom Tov, and Melechas Ochol Nefesh is Mutter, you don't have to do this b'shinui. Divisu de Rav Ashi, Nahalo Kimcha Agava de Psoira. The wife of Rav Ashi sifted the Kemach, the second sifting, on the back of the table. There are different pshatim regarding what this is. The table was flipped over, or some want to say that it was done on the actual tabletop surface instead of into a bowl. Point is, it's a shinui. Omar Rav Ashi, Ha Didon, Rav Ashi says, Ha Didon. Didon means ours. He's referring to his wife. In other words, my wife, Barte de Rami Bar Chama. She was the daughter of Rami Bar Chama. The Rami Bar Chama Mora de Uvda Have. And Rami Bar Chama, in other words, my father-in-law, he was a very scrupulous individual. He was very careful with his behavior. The Ilav de Chazio mi Bei Nosha. If she didn't see it in her father's house, this shoinin b'shinui lo yhaveh avdo, she wouldn't have done it that way. In other words, she saw it being done b'shinui, hence she continued what she saw in her father's house. So you have, on the one hand, Rav Yosef is saying that, well, since I want a nice bread, you don't need to do a shinui. On the other hand, you've got Rav Ashi claiming that this shinui is the right way to do it. Now, does that mean there's a machlokas here? Maybe yes. The Mishnah. Hoylech Odom Eitzel Chenvoni Horogil Etzlo. We continue with the topic of sales of items. Sales meaning a customer going into a store on Yom Tov and getting products. The Mishnah says a person goes to a chenvoni horogila, so that he's a regular customer. The word rogil, if you have a good imagination and look at things in, let's say, phonetically, rogil and the word regular are similar expressions. And that's what rogil means. He's a regular by this store owner. The oimer lo, and you can tell him on Yom Tov, tainli beitzim vegoizim, but minyan, give me, minyan is a number, beitzim, give me 5 eggs, me 10 nuts. Shekein derech balabayis liyos moine besoch beis. So that's how people behave within their homes as well. A person might say to someone in his household, can you give me 5 eggs? Can you give me 10 nuts? Etc. So it's not something that has a commercial look to it. And as we go on the Gemara, we see a Tanaic source that actually brings us to the end of the parak. There's no Gemara commentary on it. On the side of the Gemara, our Nosei Mivneh heading features the double underline that we'll see. We have written here, Rechishas Motzrei Mazon, that's the acquisition of different products, B'chag, on the holiday, B'li Lahazkir, without making mention of one, Domim, cash, that's Tashlum Kaspi, money, payment, money payments, Midos, Kav, Kabayim, not mentioning measures either. So if you want to acquire something from different providers, you can do so, provided you don't make any cash reference, nor measure reference. The examples follow. Tana Rabbana, Holich Odom Etzel Roya HaRogil Etzlo. And this idea, by the way, of Rogil Etzlo is such that there is trust between the vendor and the customer. So things, transactions will take place even without actual mentioning of money. So the person can go to a shepherd, and the Omer lo, tein li gdi echad, o tle echad, give me a goat, or a sheep, or a lamb. Eitzel, taboch, a rogel, so a taboch is a butcher, and the Omer lo, tein li kaf achas, so yerech achas, different cuts of meat. The kaf is like a possibly shoulder, or yerech is a thigh. Eitzel patam. Patam is a person who fattens up birds. So you can go to the patam horogil etzlo. The word, by the way, patam as well. If you look at the word, you can see the word fat in there. So this is someone who fattens up birds. V'yomelo tainli tor echad o gozal echad. Give me a torah. That's a type of bird. Give me a pigeon or a little bird. Eitzel nachtoim horogil etzlo. You can go to a baker. Here the word nachtom is taken in its regular sense, a baker. And v'omer lo tainli kikar echad o gluskachas, give me a loaf of bread or this a nice cake. V'eitzel chenvoni harogil etzo. Go to a grocer. V'omer lo tainli esrim beitzim o chamishim egozim, give me 20 eggs or 50 nuts. Asora farsikin, 10 afarsikin fruits. The Hamisha Rimoinim, the Esrog Echad, they give me 5 Rimoinim, often translates as pomegranates, and 1 Esrog. It seems to me there's probably some deeper level of understanding in the examples given. It's curious to note that when it comes to the Afarsikin 10 are mentioned, and when it comes to the Rimoinim 5, and the Esrog 1. Ubilvad Shelo Yaskiloi Schum Mida. These transactions are allowed, provided you don't make mention of a quantity, a measure. I don't want to say quantity, because quantity means 10, 15, 20, that is allowed. But a measure, like a kav or kabayim, kav is the name of a measure. Today you might refer to a pound or a liter, that you do not mention. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer uvat shelo yaskir lo yischum mekach. Rabbi Shimon says that the transactions are allowed, provided you don't mention amount of money. As you can see, that brings us to the end of the third perek of Be'ah, convenient pausing point, being that we're at the tail end of our Omid Beis, at the end of Chof Tes Omid Beis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.